We just finished 1st and 2nd Timothy. Now we're going to go into a real long section with a very, very long book called Titus. And Titus covers about, the entire book covers about a page and a half in most Bibles, three small, short chapters. But it's very intense, and there's a lot of interesting things in Titus. A lot of it is a repeat of Timothy, the things that we studied in 1st and 2nd Timothy about the appointment of elders and the behavior of people and some of the problems that Timothy ran into. We're going to find the same thing in basically in Titus. The warnings there are, as I say, similar to what we find in 1st and 2nd Timothy. But it is important, and we need to remember that. I didn't make a lesson sheet for next week because we're just going to have a general discussion of the book of Titus. So what we'll need to do is read all three chapters. It won't take you but a few minutes. So the 5 hours that you devote to studying our lesson each week, you can spend on time of reflection and really dig into the details of the book of Titus. So that's our lesson for next week. You just read the three chapters, and we'll dig into that and take a look at what Paul has to say about Titus. Titus chapter 3, verse 12. Paul was asking Titus to join him in western Greece. Then sometime after that, sometime later, Titus accompanied Paul back to Rome, probably when Paul was arrested for the second time. Now you remember that Paul was arrested one time in Jerusalem, and he went to, he appealed to Caesar, and he ended up in Rome. He was released for a period of time, and then he was rearrested. And I think that that was the time when Nero became emperor and became very powerful, and when he set the city on fire, he blamed it on the Jews, or the, blamed it on the Christians. And this was when Paul was rearrested the second time. But we find there's a couple of years in there that Paul really doesn't fill us in a whole lot. And so there is some conjecture there as to what his travel arrangements were. And we'll look into that and think about that just a little bit. We find the last notice of Titus, last mention of Titus, is in 2 Timothy 4, in which he said he left Rome under Paul's instructions and he had gone to Dalmatia, which is in Asia Minor area. Paul said just prior to his execution that everybody had left. He was alone with the exception of Luke. He had been left in Rome. Well, I think, this is just a personal observation of mine, but I think that he sent Titus away to Dalmatia. Probably had a legitimate reason to send him, but I think he also considered the fact that any of the Christians there in Rome at that particular time were in dire danger and very possibly could lose her head in a hurry. So he sent Titus to Dalmatia. He also sent Crescens to an area around Galatia. And I think that that was to get him out of Rome and away from the immediate danger he was facing. Now take a look at this man, Titus. There's some details that we learn about Titus in this particular letter, such as Paul leaving him to minister in Greece or Crete, probably after the events that took place in the book of Acts. But we can also see references to Titus in other parts of the New Testament. What gives us more insight into this man who was a leader of the early church? But we have to dig into it a little bit and take a look at him from other angles. This points to Titus being one of the first partners in the ministry with the Apostle Paul, and maybe even the longest partner in the ministry that Paul ever had. I think this ministry that they had together was even before Paul and Timothy, and we know that Timothy was with Paul quite a long time. The majority of the mentioning of Titus is in 2 Corinthians, which was written about 10 years after Galatians and about 10 years before Titus was written. So there's a spread in there of about 20 years. Paul's comments about Titus, showing that he's well received and well respected by both Paul and the Corinthians. Paul sent him to Corinth, which was having trouble, and also to start a collection for the poor saints who were suffering in Jerusalem. What do you think of this problem that the Corinthians were having? Something that we run into over and over and over again. It's plagued Paul for his entire ministry. That is that the Judaizing Jews were coming in and trying to tell people that there had to be circumcision involved before they could become Christians. What were they trying to do that for? They were pushing this Jewish religion on them, weren't they? Jewish requirement. Was it required? No, it wasn't required. But for some, they had been, this had been banging, people have banged this into their heads for 1.5 centuries or 1.5 thousand years. It just gone on forever. And they just couldn't get away from this. So they were causing trouble, following Paul around. They studied a lot about that. Paul sent Titus to Corinth, and Paul and Corinth, the Corinthians, were having some difficulties of their own there. And so Paul sent him to smooth the waters, I think, and to not only try to solve this problem that they were having, but also, if you remember, they sent him, Titus had been going around, or Paul had been going around to a number of congregations in that whole area there, talking about a collection for the saints in Jerusalem, and this was one of the chores that Paul gave Titus when he sent him there. You find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Titus also carried their concern back to Paul, not only for Paul's welfare, but to informing them their willingness to participate actively In the collection Paul was making for these saints in Jerusalem. Let's take a look at question number one. Where do we first hear of Titus? You don't have to fight each other to answer. You can go ahead and just speak up.
Second Corinthians.
I'm sorry?
In Second Corinthians?
He's mentioned there, but that's not the first time.
Acts?
Since
he mentioned in Galatia.
I'm sorry?
He's mentioned in Galatians.
Yeah. Mentioned in Galatians.
Ron?
Yes.
He's mentioned, or assumed anyway, that he's mentioned in Acts, but he's not mentioned by name. He just assumed that he was with Paul at the time, but he's not named in Acts.
Okay, we'll take a look at that in a few minutes. Most scholars think that the book of Galatians was written about 15 years before he wrote his letter to Titus. We know that as far as by name, that's where Titus is first mentioned, and that is in Galatians 2. But as Lee mentioned here just a few minutes ago, Titus was mentioned even earlier than that period of time. Paul wrote in Galatians 2 about bringing Titus along with Barnabas on a visit to Jerusalem that he had made a few years before writing to the Galatians. It's probably the same visit we read about in Acts 11, although Titus is not mentioned by name. But he was traveling with Paul. He was a partner in the ministry with Paul. Barnabas had been sent to get Paul. And that was mentioned there in Galatians 2. And then he talks about this visit in Acts 11, but Titus is not mentioned by name. So what this does is point to Titus as being one of the first ministry partners with Paul. Was Titus a Jew?
No, he's a Greek.
He was Greek. Okay.
The Gentile parents.
I'm sorry?
Gentile parents.
Okay. He had Gentile parents. He was in Greek, wasn't he? Did Paul have him circumcised?
Yeah.
Yes. Who says yes? Who says no? Before you're all voted, Carol.
Well, it says right there in Galatians in 2 and 3 that he was compelled to be circumcised.
Well, try Galatians 2:35. Somebody want to read Galatians 2:35.
There is no 35 in Galatians 2.
It's supposed to be Galatians 2:3-5.
3-5, excuse me.
I don't have a hyphen in here, so that's probably what I missed the hyphen somewhere there.
What I got. 3-5?
Mm-hmm.
But not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. But it was because the false brethren who had sneaked in to spy out liberty, which we
have in Christ Jesus in order to bring us into bondage, but we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you.
Okay. So those who outvoted Carol are correct. Okay. Well, we don't have any details about how old Titus was or even how he and Paul met, but in Titus 1:4, it somewhat indicates that Paul was present when Titus became a Christian. It's interesting to note in Galatians 2:3-5 that Titus was a Greek, not a Jew. And this was a contentious problem of what was expected of the Gentiles who became Christians. This issue is also discussed in the book of Galatians. And Paul notes that neither he nor the others forced Titus to be circumcised, showing that a believer in Jesus did not have to be Jewish to be saved. It's interesting to me that in Acts the 16th chapter, when Paul visited Timothy, he was half Jew and half Gentile. But even though he had a Greek father, Paul also had him circumcised, didn't he? Why do you suppose that was?
Was that so he could take him into the temple or the synagogues?
Okay. He kind of eliminated the contention too, didn't he? Smoothed the way just a little bit.
Keep the peace.
I'm sorry?
Keep the peace.
Yeah. Great, so that these contentious Jews that were floating around and following around Paul didn't have a whole lot to say about that, did they? But it really wasn't necessary, of course, we know, because they weren't going to be following Jewish law. So, but Paul had him circumcised anyway. Where was Titus when he received the letter from Paul? Question number 4.
Was he in Crete?
I'm sorry?
Is he on the island of Crete?
Okay, it's on the island of Crete, isn't it? Okay. That's a little bit confusing when you look at that Titus. He's on the island of Crete. Then we find Paul shipping him to Dalmatia. And then he's gone to other places. So when you look at Corinth and you try to piece this all together, it gets a little confusing because he's a pretty busy guy and he is traveling a lot. But he's in Crete when he receives this letter from Paul. Do we know just about when this letter was sent? Scholars are estimating somewhere around AD 65. So it's still a little bit of time before Paul is actually executed, which is around 67, 68. So there's a time frame in there that we don't have a whole lot of information on, but we can kind of piece it together on the time frame and we can see where the possibilities lie. Where was Paul when he wrote this letter to Titus?
Still in jail.
I'm sorry?
Was he still in jail?
In prison?
Okay.
In Rome?
Okay. Rome? How many vote for Rome? I'm going to vote for no Rome.
No Rome.
Carol, you're out. Fuck
yeah.
I just use the phone. You're like, in their room.
I thought it was, I don't know where he was, but it said, well, something I read said between imprisonment syndrome.
Okay, well, you remember the first time Paul was in prison. Then he was released. And then he was rearrested the second time when the acute problem rose up with Nero. He was in a place called Nicopolis, which was in Macedonia, eastern Greece, right on that borderline area there. But it was called, it was a Roman province called Epius. And that's where Paul wrote this letter to Titus in about 65 AD. Titus was on the island of Crete. What do we know about Crete?
Not very big.
Okay, not very big, about 150 miles long, yep. And 40 or 50 miles wide. Mm-hmm. It's widest part, but there were a lot of mountainous areas there. Although there were some plains where the farmers had grown grain and that type of stuff, and some parts of it were 30 miles, and some of it was pretty tempestuous. But with the mountains there, we find that it had a great degree, a great effect on the winds. And of course, that controlled the ships. They were all sailing ships at that particular time. A lot of them went around the southern edge of Crete to get out of the northeast winds that blew a lot there. The mountains protected them to some degree. What else do we know about Crete?
Yeah, good agriculture and trading economy.
Yeah, they did some, they grew grain and fruit, that type of thing, and most of which was shipped to Rome or the area of southern Italy. Did anybody run across the god Zeus in their study? Yes, ma'am.
He was the principal god in Crete, and all the other gods answered to him.
Yeah.
He ran everything.
Yeah, they were idol worship god, had all kinds of gods, but Zeus was the king, and he was the big guy. And this is where their main deity was. Yes, sir.
In verse 12, one of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons.
Yeah, how terrible to make a comment about like that with your fellow mankind. What did Paul think about that?
This testimony is true.
One of their own people said that they're liars, cheaters, thieves and terrible people, and Paul said, yeah, that's exactly right. Why did he agree with that, or what was his response to that when he talked to Titus? And we'll look at this next week. But yeah.
He wanted to reprove them severely.
Yeah.
That they may become sound in the faith.
Yeah, he really, when he's directing Titus to do all this work and to do these things, he says, boy, be strict with them, because these guys are not nice people. Okay. Question number 6, and I put this question up wrong, and I apologize for that. I put who were the descendants of Cretans. should have said who were the forebearers of the people on the tree. We know who that was.
Is that the Minoans?
I'm sorry?
Is it the Minoans?
That is, I think that's probably semi-accurate, yeah, but wasn't who I had in mind.
The Philistines.
Yeah. What do we know about the Philistines? When it goes and talks about Minoans, I think it's talking about in Genesis, the 10th chapter, way, way back.
They were a sailing community.
Yeah, they were sailors. And very aggressive sailors. And we looked at the Philistines in the Bible, first mentioned way back in Genesis. Mm-hmm. So they were long, long time seafaring people that ended up on the southwest coast, which is now Israel. They were very warlike people, tough people to do business with. Most of the time, they were Israel's active enemies. And we've gone through and studied the Old Testament. We see these people come up and come up and come up time and time again. And, of course, some popular stories like David and Goliath. Goliath was a Philistine. We find that the Israelites and the Philistines are constantly banging heads against one another. Well, this is where the Philistines came from. And they settled in there on the west coast east coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Kind of interesting because modern day DNA, they've dug up some Philistines in the graves and around Gath and Ekron and places like that where the Philistines lived. And they did some DNA testing with the people in Crete, compared to DNA, and they had a direct linkage to the people on Crete. So it bears out what we know about the Philistines and the island of Crete. And it's also, they found some Minoan DNA in there as well. So we know that those people were real closely related. So I thought that was interesting. Was Paul ever in the island of Crete? Question number 7.
Yes.
Yep.
Do we know, what do we know about Paul being in on the island of Crete?
Was he there to set up a church?
I'm sorry?
Was he there to set up a church?
Well, we'll look at that. I personally think he did, although where he was in the first entry, where was he? Do we remember Acts 27? Remember that Acts 27, where he had a real brief visit to Fair Havens? Which was small fishing village on the southeast corner of the island of Crete. It wasn't a very good harbor because the land was kind of lowlands there where Fair Haven was, where a lot of farming was going on, very mild weather. But it had no protection because of the farmland, the low elevation didn't have a whole lot of protection against the wind. But we don't know why Paul's ship touched on Crete there at Fairhaven. Maybe it was to take on some extra chapter 40 or something like that, but we're not told that, but it did say that Paul, what's Paul doing in on a ship in Fairhaven? Three.
Wasn't he going to see like the Roman emperor or something?
He's on his way to Rome.
Was he on his trip to Rome? Is that what you said?
On his way to Rome.
Yeah. What caused him to be on this ship to Rome?
He was a prisoner.
He was a prisoner, wasn't he? You remember going back to Felix and what's the other guy's name? Who was one of the governors there?
Oh.
I'm sorry? I can't it skipped my mind here, but you remember he was he testified that he was in Jerusalem and they falsely accused him of blasphemy and that type of thing, and he went before Governor Felix, and then Felix sent him to Caesarea
Agrippa.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's who I was thinking of. But anyway, he was found. Hey, what did Paul do? He appealed to Caesar, didn't he? But then we found out, well, I didn't see anything wrong with this guy, but since he's appealed to Caesar, we're going to have to send him to Caesar. And so we find that Paul is put on board this ship. They made several stops, and they went around to Fairhaven there. And Paul was accompanied by the centurion. And apparently there were a number of other prisoners on the way to Rome as well, because there was a guard led by a centurion on board this ship. How do we know how many people were on board? Yeah, 276. So it's not a tiny ship. They had to have provisions, water to drink, whatnot, in order to survive a long voyage. 276 souls were on board the ship. Now they landed at Fairhaven. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But Paul was there at Fairhaven for such a short, brief time, there wasn't any opportunity to establish church yet.
Well, he must have been there some previous time with Titus, because in verse 5 it says he left Titus there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that that period of time that he came back was when he was released from his first imprisonment in Rome, and he had 2 or 3 years there that he was spending some time setting up churches and stuff. And I think that's probably when he went back to Crete. And that gives us a definite clue. He said, Paul writes to Titus, he said, I left you in Crete. So I think it's inference that is there that Paul went back to Crete and spent some time with Titus. Also, we have to remember that in Acts 2, it talks about Passover. It talks about people who gathered there in Jerusalem. And Acts 2:11 said there were Cretans there. So they very well may have taken back and established churches in Crete by themselves without a direct intervention by Paul. So, but Paul exercised authority over them, and this may have been influenced by his being there and established the churches, or it could have been through his ministry in Ephesus and Corinth, in both of those cities, but not that far from the island of Crete. When Paul touched base of fair havens, what they wanted to do, the sailors and the Roman guards wanted to go on, said the wind was fair. It's in Acts 27. The wind was fair, and they wanted to go on to a place called Phoenix, which was at the opposite end of the island. But it was covered with mountainous terrain most of the way there. And once you got over it, but there was a gap of about 50 miles that was treacherous because it had no protection against the wind. So if they could get through that gap, 50 miles or so, and get in behind those, the protection of those mountains, then they had pretty smooth sailing. Well, what happened? Paul told them, don't do this. Stick around here at Fair Haven. But they didn't have really, they didn't want to spend the winter there. So what do we know about that? Paul told them, warn them, I perceive. Who's Paul been told? Yeah. Paul's been told by Spirit. Tell these people that their lives were in danger if they continue on. Better stay here and be uncomfortable in Fair Haven. So what did they do? They didn't believe Paul, did they? So they took off. What happened to them after a day or so of sailing? They had nice, calm weather. All of a sudden, a storm brewed up out of the northeast. They couldn't make headway against the storm. So they just gave up making headway and let the storm take its course. Storm blew up 600 miles away from their intended route. About 600 miles. They threw all their equipment overboard, threw all their supplies overboard, all their cargo went overboard.
Well, it was a green ship.
And then they decided they should abandon the ship. And we know when this decision came about, the centurion was going to have all the prisoners killed. That was a pretty bad deal if you lost a prisoner. What happened to the two or the guards that were guarding Jesus' tomb when he escaped? They didn't see it. They had their heads chopped off. They were executed. So it was really, really dangerous for any guards to lose their prisoner. So in order to make sure they didn't lose any, they were going to kill them. Put Paul to
yep. No loss of life. Yeah. If you do what I say.
Yeah. They started believing Paul, didn't they? So he said, well, what happened? What else happened?
They put out their anchors.
Yeah.
To try to slow them down and keep them from doing that. And then Paul had told them to take nutrients before they threw the last of the grain over so that they'd all have strength to do that. And the rest of the soldiers or sailors tried to
say, oh, we're going to do something with the anchors, and they were going to scurry off of the ship, and Paul told the centurion, and the centurion made them stay on the ship, and they all made it to safety, and the prisoners were all still there.
Now, they hadn't eaten anything for 15 days, so you can imagine what that would have been like on a ship out in the open ocean. Where'd they end up?
On an island called Malta?
Yeah, they ended up on Malta. They sailed right into the bay there, just nice and smooth, didn't they? Is that right? Oh, no.
No.
Yeah, they ran up on a sandbar and broke up, didn't they?
Kindling.
They, how many lives did they lose?
None.
Didn't lose any lives, did they? How were the Malta people? Did they treat them well or bad? Yeah, they treated them well, didn't they?
Really, really well, man.
Yeah, what happened to Paul there on Malta when he was feeding the fire?
They decided he must be a really evil man.
Yeah.
Because he got saved from the ocean, then he got bit by a snake. But, of course,
most people thought he was a god because the snake didn't have any effect on him. Okay, so that was Paul's adventure that he relates in Acts 27. A little bit off for a subject, but I thought it was kind of interesting to kind of relate that. But that, Paul ended up in Rome, and I think that Bob was accurate right there. I think that Paul went back to Rome, or went back to Crete and helped Titus establish churches there, because Paul showed some authority in churches there. And so I think that's exactly what he did, was he went back in that time frame when he was free from the first to the second imprisonment. Yeah.
It just shows you the power of God that here Christians are known for all being liars, and yet you can go somewhere and teach somebody that the whole society is noted for being lying. I mean, you have to have an authority that's great enough that will overpower that tendency. They had to get that out of their life. It must have taken a long time to get lying out of their heads, if they could keep it out of their mouth. But
and I think we find that today. Here's another different. I think we're all probably Cretans, or not ourselves personally, but necessarily, but as a whole, the people in the United States are just like the Cretans, aren't they? Boy, does that have an effect on what goes on in this country? Wow. So, Paul and Titus had their hands full, that's for sure. So, okay. Question is, what was Paul advising Titus to do?
Set things in order and establish elders in the church, too.
Yeah. So he's relating to Titus the qualifications of elders. And it's interesting because he also talks about the behavior of women. That's a touchy subject, you know, that anybody can get involved in. Okay. That's really all that I had. Has anybody got any questions, comments, anything like that? Okay. The assignment for next week is the entire book of Titus. And we'll dig into that and look at some of the things that Titus was instructed to do, and